You may title it, True Worship is God regulated. True worship is God regulated. Put another way, any worship that is true, according to God's word, at the same time that lesson will be regulated by God. There are five words from the original language, Greek, in which the Bible existed then. It existed also in Amharic, Hebrew. But the then Old Testament spread the world largely in Greek because of the influence of Alexander the Great, who came along at that point in history when Greek influence and culture was marching. So the five words that are used and translated worship, spin it around, it's not just one word that gives us the word worship. There are five different Greek words. Be mindful that from what we gather from each of these words, we learn that one does not engage in worship to God primarily to get or to receive. I need to say that again. From what the word worship teaches is that we do not engage in worship to God with the motive or the purpose to get or to receive. We engage in worship to God to give or to offer. Of the five words, every one of them gives that idea. Not only that, I drop this along too. That in true worship, no child of God is ever an observer. You are always a participant if you are a true worshiper of God. Not Brother Mitchell, sometimes I come and just watch what I do. Yes, when you do that, you are not worshiping God. That's right. If you are here just to observe, when God wants you to be here to contribute, to participate, to give to Him, then you would have been here for the wrong reason. No worshiper engage in true worship, engage in it to observe. In true worship, the worshiper is acknowledging how much he or she owes to the Almighty God. In true worship, the worshiper is acknowledging not only how much you owe to God, but how much you are obligated to show God that you acknowledge that you owe him the reverence, the adoration, the worship, the adornment that he deserves. You're acknowledging that God has given us so much and that he has done so much for us. In true worship, we are acknowledging the kindness, the goodness, the benevolence, the grace, the mercy of God in every true worship. And this is why I said, no true worshiper is an observer. You come out to worship if you are a true worshiper. Wait, I'm not saying you do not observe, but when you observe what you ought to be here for, you are not here for that if you are an observer. The true worshiper, you acknowledge God's daily, hourly, momently kindness to you every day. In worship, you are saying, God, I am here to show my thanks, my gratitude. I'm here to worship you. God's kindness spoken of in Acts 14, 16 through 17, Psalms 65, 9 through 13. Let us hear a little of those, quick. Let us hear a little of those. Acts 14, 16 and 17.
Who in times past suffered all nations to...
The Almighty God in time past, the word suffer there means permit all nations to walk...
In their own ways.
In their own ways.
Nevertheless...
Wait, in spite... of the fact that the ways in which the different nations, including the Israelites, walked in time past, in spite of the fact that they walk in ungodly and sinful ways, that's why, you know, yet, what happened?
He left not himself without witness.
God, while allowing humanity to walk in their disobedient, sinful ways in the past, the Almighty God still showed kindness. Yet,
nevertheless, he left not himself without witness.
Notice the witnesses that God left. Now, definitely not the Jehovah witnesses. Notice the weakness.
In that he did good.
Goodness was one of God's witnesses. Eh? You would think that it's just pure judgment. God would say, no. Goodness, positive goodness God left.
And gave us rain from heaven.
That's another goodness that God left.
And fruitful seasons.
That's another goodness God left.
Filling our hearts.
That's another goodness God left.
With good and with food and gladness.
Isn't it wonderful? Remember, when the Bible states that God permitted all nations to walk in their own ways, those of us who study the Bible and know what the Old Testament period was and acknowledge what the Gentile world and how they lived, we know that it was just ungodliness. Eh? And yet, in all the midst of the ungodliness, the Almighty God chose to be good and to be kind. Shouldn't we want to worship God? Look at Psalms 65, 9 through 13.
Thou visitest the earth.
You visit the earth.
And water it.
You water the earth, Almighty God.
Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. And prepare.
Wait. I don't know if you notice, the Psalms this year is talk about water. Now, you and I live in the scientific world where we have come to learn the importance of water. That's right. You see, everything depends on water. And it seems for some reason the people in the ancient world recognize it. Hence, the Psalms' emphasis is on water, what it does to our earth. Read on a little further.
Which is full of water, thou preparest them corn, which thou hast provided for it.
Did it say corn? Something to eat? That's part of God's goodness. And even the ignorant ancient world acknowledged this. We won't get the chance to read Job chapter 5, 8 through 13, which tells humanity in these verses, the Job is telling, or the Almighty God telling through Job, humanity of the balanced justice of God. Did I say balanced justice? Yes. What do you mean by balanced justice? That when you and I see the ungodly, the wicked men and our women just doing their own ungodly, wicked things, and it looks like there is no God, and it looks like them get away. In the passage under consideration, which we won't have time to read, now, it is telling you that no one gets away from God. That the justice of God that is balanced flows throughout the world. But acknowledging God's goodness and kindness is shown not merely in secret or in private. It is shown in public worship. That is one of the ways and one of the main ways that God's goodness and kindness is acknowledged is through public worship. Listen, the Psalms is in Psalms 22 and verse 22. The same is repeated in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Let us hear Psalms 22 and verse 22.
I will declare thy name unto my brethren.
I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Wait. This is prophecy, some 700, 800 years before Christ. This is prophecy about Christ. I will declare thy name to whom?
My brethren.
To my brethren.
In the midst of the congregation.
In the midst of the church.
Will I praise thee?
Where will he praise God? In the midst. But Brother Mitchell, he not say church. Well, run to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 and 12.
For both he.
But that, both he.
That sanctifieth.
That is the Almighty God, our Jesus Christ, who does the sanctifying in this case.
And they who are sanctified.
Referring to the Christian whom God set apart, both Christ and the Christian whom he sanctified are set apart. They are one. Huh?
Are all of one.
They are all one. Uh-huh.
For which cause?
For which cause? Our rich reason.
He is not ashamed to
Jesus Christ is not ashamed
to call them brethren.
To call us brethren. Can you imagine? The Bible is telling us that Jesus Christ is not ashamed to refer to us, to identify us as his brothers and sisters. But the passage is not finished.
Saying, I will declare thy name.
I will declare thy name.
Unto my brethren.
Unto my brethren.
In the midst of the church.
Where?
In the midst of the church.
Where?
In the midst.
In the midst of the church.
Will I sing praise unto
thee. Will I do what?
Sing praise.
The point I was making is that showing God our gratitude, thankfulness for his kindness and goodness is not merely a private thing. Wait, it can be done privately. But we should seek all the opportunity we can to let men and women know that we are thankful to the Almighty God. The psalmist says that I will do it in the midst of the congregation or in the midst of the church. May I? The men and women of the Bible who demonstrated faith and obedience to the Almighty God when they lived. That Bible period spanned some 3,500 years. When I say Bible period, the time involved when some of these great characters lived. The book of Job go back about at least 2,000 years before Moses. That's right. I'm going to repeat that. The book of Job span the incident, Job, his life, his time was some 2,000 years before Moses. When you add that 2,000 and Moses was about 1,500 BC. That is some 3,500 years. The point is I'm making is that the men and women of the Bible, going back from the time of Job up to Moses and the New Testament, it spans some 3,500 years. But get this. Without exception. Did I say without exception? Let me say it again. Without exception, the men and women of that period in history, the men and women who claim they believe in God and set out to serve and worship God, regular worship was always a part of their lives and their activities. Regular worship. was always a part of their lives and their activity, spanning back some 2,000 years before Moses. Are we all there? We are introduced to the two first human beings that were born in this world. Brother Mitchell, you said we are introduced. Yes. We are introduced to them through their worship. The two first human beings that were born in this world. That's Cain and Abel. Wait, I didn't say the two first human beings. I said the two first human beings that were born. Adam and Eve were not born. They were simply created. But Cain and Abel, they were born. And how God introduced them to us was through their worship. In the book of Genesis chapter 4, quick. Verse 1 through around verse 5, what it says?
And Adam knew Eve.
And Adam knew Eve.
And she conceived.
The knew there mean knowing her sexually. They were wife and husband. And she conceived.
And bare Cain.
And she bare Cain.
And said, I have gotten a man
from the Lord. Read on.
And
she again bare his brother
Abel. And
Abel
was a keeper of sheep,
but Cain was a tiller of the ground. One raised animal and one plant food. Read on.
And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground.
Chad, that means he set out to worship God. Worship was a part of their thinking and their activity. So when it says it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, it means that Cain set out to worship God. Let us hear a little about Abel.
And Abel,
he also
brought of the firstlings of his flock.
He gave among his flock those that were born first. May I? I believe I pointed out that worship is regulated. And that means you and I cannot worship God based simply on how we feel. I'm not saying feeling does not come in, but worship must first and primarily be guided by what God says. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling
and of the fat thereof.
Of his flock and of the fat thereof. Read on.
And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering.
Mm-hmm.
But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect.
Ladies and gentlemen, both members of the church and visitors, if you have made the mistake in thinking that God accepts every worship, this passage is just one of the many passages that is here to correct that thinking. God does not accept every worship. Because here in I think it's one or two verses, it tells you that here is a worship that God did not accept, but here is another one done at the same time which God accepts. Well, to go further, here are two brothers worshiping the same God, same time, same place, and God accept one of the worship, but reject the other. So please don't make the mistake in thinking that everything we give to God, God will accept it. He does not. It has to measure up to God's standard. No, I'm not getting off my head. That chair there, I think Cheryl, but mine tell me Cheryl is coming from church. And she's standing. I don't want her to stand through my long sermon. So if you could carry a chair and give her to sit. She does. Okay. Because last week I saw her standing there, and I say I should have interrupt my sermon and provide. Okay, can we get back to the sermon? Okay. So I repeat, don't ever make the mistake in thinking that because you are sincere and because you feel you love God so much, the Almighty God will accept whatever you or I give. No, it has to meet or adapt to the pattern, the standard that God set. And if you forget that, remember Cain and Abel. They were two brothers worshiping the same God at the same time. You know, that's the other thing, the business. We are using the same Bible and we are worshiping the same God. I have biblical proof to show that these two young men received the same instruction from God. That's right. That means they got the same Bible. But God accepted one of the worship and rejected the other. Little more there, brother.
And Cain was very wroth.
Cain got vexed. Why? Because God rejected his worship. Are we all there? Brother Mitchell, to whom was the worship directed? It was directed to God. And God rejected it. Yes. That's a lesson for us. Read on.
And his countenance fell.
Uh-huh.
End of verse 5.
The Almighty God makes a comment there, but we have to proceed. Let us hear Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 on that very point. The Old Testament speak of Cain and Abel's worship. And remember the point that we are here for? We are looking on the fact that without exception, regular worship was a part of the activities, are we all there? And a part of the lives of the men in the ancient world who claimed they believe in God. Regular worship was a part of their lives. That's what we are on here. And I'm giving a few examples. Cain and Abel is one. The New Testament also, you've just read the passage of Genesis chapter 4. And we go now to the passage of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4.
By faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice.
That means a better worship. Are we all there? A better worship than?
Than Cain.
Wait. God is in the comparative business. It's two worship being placed together, or in a sense being compared by God. No, I'm misleading you. It's not so much God was comparing two worship. It's that the Almighty God was noticing which of the worship measure up to his standard. That was what is happening. You see, it's God gave a standard that worshiping him must meet. And what is being stated here is that Abel's worship met God's standard. Cain's worship didn't. Lot of the worship today is not meeting God's standard. So don't ever make the mistake. And Christian, we need to pass this on to the sincere men and women out there. Don't make the mistake in men and women allowing them to get away with the, well, you go to your worship and I go to mine. I see him God and God, no, it's not the same worship. When Jesus Christ said God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, Jesus Christ in that passage was telling us that God must be worshipped a particular way. And next week, Sunday, when I have the final part in the lesson, I'll be getting more into some parts of worship that we don't take into consideration. Let me just drop one part. Yes, brother, I know I sent you to the passage of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel worshiped, offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Wait, you know there's some more in there that I want. I was about to run from it. Who was reading? But there's some more in that passage that I want. Let us hear it.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
Watch here now.
By which,
yes,
he obtained witness that he was righteous.
Wait, it's worship, you know. We are talking about the importance of worship. The first point I brought up was the fact that in the ancient world, men and women engage in worship regularly. And what I'm doing now is going down a list of character who, in whose life the Almighty God has taught us that worship is important. What happened? What happened, brother?
He obtained witness.
That's through the worship, you know. He obtained witness.
That he was righteous.
Wait. What the inspired writer Moses is telling us, all of that. Wait, you are in Hebrew? Okay, I know Moses. Moses dead long time. That's right. That true, that worship, he demonstrated that he was
righteous.
Righteous.
God testifying of
God
his gifts.
Testify.
Of his gifts.
Of his what?
Of his gifts.
That means his worship. God was impressed with the man's worship. You know why? It met God's standard. Anything else there?
And by it, he being dead.
Wait. You know, I should have preached just on that one verse. That's right. By the man's worship, we are talking about the importance of worship and what it can do. There's a particular passage in the book of Corinthians that will come up, not in this week's sermon. That worship, we, the worshiper, can make worship full of the power that God puts in worship. The man.
And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh.
It's about three it. You have touched on there. And all those it is referring to the man's worship. Are we all there? The man was dead, yet in his death he speak through his worship. Are we all there? And we take worship so lightly. My God, we need to brush up. Are we all there? So that was Cain. What did you say about Cain again, Brother Mitchell? that we are introduced to the two first human beings who were born in this world. We are introduced to them through their worship. Here you just have it. But here is another case. The only man to be honored in being called the friend of God, no other person then, now, or in the future will get this honor, to be called the friend of God. That's Abraham. Run to it, the brother. James chapter 2. I think I need verse 2 and 3. James chapter 2.
For if there come unto your assembly.
No, 23 rather.
And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.
He was called what?
The friend of God.
Do you know of all the thousands and thousands of men and women who serve God faithfully down through the years? Abraham was the only person to be so credited, to be so honored, to be called the friend of God. Are we all there? But Abraham was not only God's friend, Abraham was the father of the faithful. You notice that the Bible places a lot of emphasis on faith and those who truly believe in God. Abraham was the first one who manifests the type of genuine faith that really moved God. Listen, the book of Romans tells us about it. Romans chapter 4, verse 11, 12, and 13. Let us hear it. Let us hear it.
And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised.
That Abraham might be the father of all those who believe. That include us. That's right. Abraham's faith set the stage and the example for the type of faith that God wants. But watch here now. Watch here. Did you know that it was worship that God used to test that man's faith? Did you know that? If you didn't know, then I must charge you for this information. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? That it was worship. Worship. Worshiping God that God used to put Abraham's faith to the ultimate test. It is recorded in the book of Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 following. Let us have that. Worship was used to test Abraham's faith. Let us hear it, 1 through verse 4 of the book of Genesis.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
After these things.
After these things.
That God did tempt Abraham.
It really tests. That's right. It's not God tempting him to sin. It is testing, examining what kind of faith he has. That God did test Abraham. We have not yet been told what the test will be. Read on.
And said unto him, Abraham.
Abraham.
And he said, Behold, here I am.
Here I am.
And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains.
You get the point? Burnt offering is worship. And what God is asking Abraham is to take Isaac, the son of promise. That is the son through whom the Almighty God going to make Abraham children more than the sands of the seashore. And the Almighty God testing Abraham by asking Abraham to use his son as the sacrificial victim. He, the Almighty God, directed Abraham to take Isaac and sacrifice Isaac on an altar. That is worship. Look at the drama being played out at verse 6 following. Quick, brother, time gone.
And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the...
That's cruel. The very wood on which you're going to burn up the man, you make him carry it. It's not just burn up, it's offering a sacrifice. That's right. It's giving him to God. You know, that is really faith. Read that, brother, a little more.
And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham.
Isaac spake to his dad.
And said, Father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
Isn't that a logical question? Because all this time, because Abraham had asked his servant to stay behind. There's a lot of time we have to get at the right place where we can concentrate on God. That's right. And Abraham asked his servant for them to stay, and he and his son went. And both father and son communicate, and the son, Daddy, we have the wood, we have the fire, but we don't see any sheep. What did his father say?
And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb.
And God always provide. That's right. God always provide. But don't forget, we are coming down to the final part. Don't forget why we are here, that the Almighty God used worship. Worship is important to God. Read a little further.
And they came to the place which God had told him of.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood.
How would you manage that? You have your only child. Let's say you're about 40, 45. You have your son or daughter, 10-year-old. You cherish that child. You live for that child. You consider that child's life more important than yours. All that you do in life surround that child. You have been telling your friends how good God is to you and what you will do for God. But the moment comes for you to prove it. And what God asks for is that child. How would you deal with that? Offering his son as the worship sacrifice. Worship. worship. We have to stop at this point. As you all know, the Almighty God is going to provide a lamb miraculously. But look at verse 16.
And said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing..."
Brothers and sisters, as I've said, there's much more for next week's lesson. As much as you have not withheld,
withheld thy son.
How much have we withheld from God in terms of time when we are to be in worship? Does God notice those time that we should give to him out of the consideration that he has given us so much? So much time to do our own business, to engage in our own activities. But we have limited and restricted God. May I also point out that there are men and women who sometimes found out that they need God's input and certain undertaking that they are going to undertake. For the past 3, 4, 5, 6 years, they have not come to church. But when they realize that this coming week they are going to undertake something and they need God's favor, they run to church and think that they can fool God. Ladies and gentlemen, even the Christian, let us not treat God like that. Please, let us give God that which is his. Let us realize that time set aside for worship is sacred time. In next week's lesson, I'll be looking at a passage there which shows that each act of worship in which you and I engage, each act of worship in which you are to be engaged as a child of God, it must be so carried out. It must be so participated in by each worshiper that it edifies others and it glorifies God. I'm closing, but it's some of what will come up next week. If what you and I do in worship does not edify others, you are not worshiping. That's true. And if it does not glorify God, we are not worshiping. All the activities in which we engage in worship, each child of God is a participant. You cannot be a person who just sit and stoically. No, you must take part actively in every act of worship. But Brother Mitchell, no, you alone do the preaching. No, you should be saying amen when I express any biblical truth that God is pleased with. You should give sanction to it by your amen. And next week we will look at that. Come up, that came up in a discussion. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Which of the assembly? The one in the morning or the one in the evening? Or since the church have about three for the week, can I choose one? That will be looked at next week. Why should I seek to shortchange God when I want so much from Him? Not only want, when I get so much from God, where is my sense of gratitude? You remember, because you did not withhold him from me, let us seek not to withhold from God, but to seek how we can give more to God, to the glory of his name. And you know what? If you're here this morning, and if you're not a Christian, probably some of the things said today is the first you're learning them. You can become a Christian today, submitting your life in obedience to the will of Jesus Christ. That is, did you know, for the visiting, ladies and gentlemen, do you know that becoming a Christian, God has his way? Just like worshiping. We cannot just come and just worship the way we want. Walk on the bench, throw ourselves on the floor and blame it on the Holy Spirit. No, that's sinful. Disorderliness in worship is sinful.